to get right into the Word of God. And as you're getting your Bibles ready, and I want to take a moment and thank you for your faithful giving, your attendance. I know others this weekend are probably out camping, celebrating the 4th of July. And by the way, I want to wish you a very happy Independence Day. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, and I just want you to hold there, and then we're going to go to several other places in scriptures that the Lord has laid on my heart. Last night, it was before it started getting close to evening time. It was very quiet at my house. My wife and I, we were hanging out and doing things. Our daughter Michaela and son-in-law Colton and the grandkids had left about 8 o'clock, and we spent some time together during the day, and then as later afternoon, evening came, we just had some quality time. Matter of fact, there was one point somebody called me or texted me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm sitting out in the yard with the sprinkler on the grass, and I'm watching my grass grow." Man, there's no better thing than sitting out in the yard. The sun was out. It was beautiful yesterday. It was a gorgeous day. And all throughout the day yesterday, there were moments and times when I thought about my freedom. I thought about the prices that were paid by individuals who lived way before my time. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to, and I want you to understand, I'm going to make a declaration right here. When I say this, I'm not telling you I'm for one party or another party. I'm for the party that puts God first. Whether it be Republican or Democrat or whatever, I want to get out of the party thing. I'm a believer. But Friday night, I listened to our president, the president of the United States, as he gave a speech. I think it was one of the best speeches from a president that I've ever heard in my life. You may disagree with me. I don't know. I don't know if you listened to it. You can go back and listen to it. And I began to think about our country, and I began to think about where our country came from and how it all came to be. And I don't have time to go into all that, but I do believe that we still live in a great country. I don't want to say that our country is any greater than any other country, because I believe that would be demeaning to anybody of another country. I believe we live in a great country, and I'm proud to be a citizen of the United States of America, but my heart is breaking. I wore my red, white, and blue shirt. At first, I was a little reluctant wearing my shirt. My wife said, "Oh, no, it'll be fine." And I'm thinking, you know what? There's nothing wrong with being an American. Not that I thought there was anything being wrong with an American, but, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but if wearing this shirt offends somebody, I'm not going to make an apology today. I'm not going to make an apology for our American flag, the red, white, and blue. Because many men and women have died in battle so that we could be free. I am concerned about our country, though. I am concerned about our church. Not our local church. I'm talking about the church across America. Because not only do I see a polarization in our country, I see even a polarization in our churches, division in our churches. And there's one thing I want to do today. I want to remind you what our purpose is as a church. It's not to get on the left or the right. It's to get on the Word and to stay on the Word. It's time to kneel at the cross and give our allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who the Bible says, His government, there will be no end. But while we live and breathe in the world and in the place and in the country that God has placed us in, we need to remember why we're here. We're here to proclaim liberty. Liberty. And the Scripture talks about liberty. The Scripture talks about freedom. And I'm going to talk about it not only in physical terms, but more so in spiritual terms today. Because sometimes I think we forgot our purpose. Last night, while Terry and I were laying in bed and we were trying to go to sleep, it was 10:30, almost 11 o'clock when we laid down. And I looked at my wife and she looked at me and I said, it's going to be a little while before we go to sleep. I mean, there was bangs and cracks and pops and explosions and all kinds of things. And as I lay there and I wrestled through the night, I asked myself the question, do we really understand why we're celebrating the 4th of July today? I mean, many family and people all across our country were at picnics and barbecues and celebrations and rodeos and flags were presented. Yet and at the same time, we have such a kind of a war going on in our nation. If I could define it, it's as though it's a cultural war. And I'm not going to get deep into that. That's another subject and another sermon on another time. But what I want to remind you today is who we are as a church and what our purpose is. I'm reminded when young Timothy, and that's why I want to go to Timothy, and I'm not going to preach a whole lot out of Ephesians. And then I'm going to go to 2 Timothy. There's a few passages of scriptures, but here in the book of Ephesians, I want you to go to verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. When you're there, say amen. Amen. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Actually, I'm in the wrong spot. But I am. Well, you know what? I'll have to find my, I must have wrote down the wrong passage. But let me just give it to you this way. Give me a second. I'm not going to get in ahead here. I wrote down Ephesians, and it's not Ephesians. Okay? All right. It's 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. Now, while you're turning there, let me just give you a little foundation, an understanding. In the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, the first one, he was writing young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter, in 1 Timothy, the book of 1 Timothy. He was writing young Timothy, and explaining to him about the order of the church, how to put leaders in. The church was doing phenomenal. It was growing greatly, and it was abounding. But then things changed drastically from 1 Timothy to 2 Timothy. You have to remember that while all this is going on, throughout the New Testament, they were under Roman occupation. They were under Roman taxation. They were under Roman rule. It was not an easy life. It was a very difficult life. It was strenuous. I want you to imagine. And there came a leader. You see, all throughout that time, there were emperor leaders. But when you get to 2 Timothy chapter 2, many of the leaders that were Roman were evil and very difficult. But the one that came into power while young Timothy was pastoring in 2 Timothy, it was Nero. Heavy persecution came upon the church. You see, if you do your research and you do your history, Nero and the Roman government, they had a Senate like we have. And he went before the Senate, and if you do your studying, you'll find out that Nero wanted to tear down a bunch of buildings and build a new building, and he wanted to do it his way. And the Senate disagreed with him. The Senate didn't want to go that direction. They're like, no, we're not going to do that. So Nero hired henchmen, people that would go all throughout the city, and they set it afire. And it was blazing. And when it came down to it, Nero blamed the church. And he got the majority of the populace of that time to believe that it was those Christians. It's those Christians are the problems. They're the ones who's causing all the division. And they're the ones who started all these fires, which was not true. It was a lie of the enemy. And what I want you to ponder just for a minute in the condition of our nation that we're in right now, we are getting ready. We've already started, but we are in a kind of like a parallel thing. The church right now is being blamed for a lot of stuff that's not the church's responsibility. We've got to remember that this warfare we're in is a spiritual warfare. It is the devil is in the midst of it. Are you following me? And so in all of this, we need to know who we are, why we're here, and what our purpose is. The church, we're not here to create our own little kingdom. We're not here to create our own little world. It's about the world that is to come. It's about the plan of God. It's about the kingdom of God. You know, when we're taught the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." Not mine, not yours, but because of human mindset and human ways and human thoughts and human pride and all the stuff that goes along with being human, it's like it's about our world. And if we're not careful, think about this for a moment. If we're not careful, even as Christians, we get in the same mode and sometimes thinking because we expect God to, and you've heard me say this before, and I'll probably say it again many multiple times in the next years to come, but we expect God to evolve around us when we and our life is to evolve around God the Father, His purpose, His will, His plan. This is not my church. It's His church. I'm an ambassador. I'm a representative. I'm a shepherd that God has placed here for this time, for this moment. But I began to think throughout the night. It's hard to sleep on Saturday nights when I'm getting ready to preach the next morning. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and this is the right one this time. "For the which cause I suffered those things." I want you to understand, Paul is sharing, when he's writing this letter, he's in prison. He's penning or writing this letter while he's in jail. A letter of encouragement to young Timothy, because he just gives a word to young Timothy. He said, "Now you need to stop and you need to shake yourself." I'm putting it in my words. He says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He said, "You need to stir up the gift." He said, "That same faith that was in your grandmother and your mother," he said, "I know it's in you as well. And you've got to stir it up. You've got to shake it up." But I want you to see what Paul says. He says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Church, we cannot be ashamed of who we are in Christ Jesus. I'm a believer. I'm blood bought. I am redeemed through Jesus Christ. I have confessed my sins. And when I confess my sins, He was faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and come in and live my heart. And I became a son of the living God. Amen? We need to remember who we are. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of it." While sitting in a jail cell, "I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian." He says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." I want to ask you the question. Are you persuaded Are you convinced with everything in your heart, your mind, your soul that He is who He says He is? Have you, what, now, then this is between you and God. It's not between you and me. But it says, Paul makes a statement. He says, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed. A few Sundays ago, I preached in Gran Quivira on Father's Day. And I used this scripture, and I used several other scriptures, but I preached about being authentic. You know what authentic is? It's the real deal. It's not a phony. It's not a model. You know what a model is, don't you? You know, every once in a while, our administrative bishop, and I love our administrative bishop, David Kemp, he tells me, Pastor Mike, you are a model preacher. You know what a model is? The definition of a model? It's a small imitation of the real thing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm playing with you. Don't be serious. Say, I don't want to be a model. I don't want to be a small imitation of the real thing. I want to be authentic. I want to be a son of God. I want to be a Christian. I want to walk the walk. I want to talk the talk. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be real. So Paul's trying to tell young Timothy, you need to have an attitude check. You need to know who you are. Paul's saying, I know who I am. He says, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I'm believed in. I am persuaded. I'm convinced. I've got my mind that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. But then in verse 13, he says, hold fast. That means hold tightly the form of sound words, that which thou hast learned, heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. If there's ever a day we need to hold on to sound words, it's today. You can't even turn your news station on and know if it's truth or not truth. It's so messed up. But what I can tell you right now, you can open up this book right here and you can know what you're reading is truth. And we're in such a different place in time. We're in such a I don't know how to describe to you what I'm thinking and where my heart is. But you and I as the church, we need to understand that God created us for such a time as this. We were created to live in this time and in this moment. He crafted our bodies. He crafted our agenda, our purpose, our destiny. You know, you've heard me use this scripture, John 15, verse 16. You didn't choose me. He said, I chose you and I ordained you. That means I've given you all the abilities and all the talents to do what I have created you to do. Every one of us are created with purpose, but sometimes we forget who we are and why we're here. My Bible tells me that the church, the bride of Christ, we're pilgrims. We're only passing through. But we're here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And as a church on this 4th of July weekend, I want to be so very careful and I want to be so cautious that nobody misunderstands me, because like I said, I'm not standing on the right, I'm not standing on the left, I'm standing as a believer according to the Word of God. But yet I have a civic duty, as a citizen of the United States to abide by the laws of the land, to pray for my country, to pray for my president, to pray for the Congress and the Senate and all those and the Supreme Court justices. Now, there's a lot of junk going on right now. There's a lot of divisions. But I cannot lose my focus. You see, because the Paul told young Timothy, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, you and I cannot get entangled in all the garbage and all the junk. Are you following me? But what I have to stay focused on is my calling and my purpose as a shepherd. as a teacher, as a minister of the gospel, and you as a believer. We need to keep our focus why we're here. We can never forget we're here to be ambassadors for Christ. And literally that word ambassadors is translated as messengers. We are messengers. We got to tell the story. And we're here to represent not ourselves. I'm not here to represent the Church of God. I love the Church of God denomination. And I'm going to be honest with you. There is no perfect denomination. There is no perfect church. But we strive to be the best that we possibly can. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to live in sin. I'm not telling you to abuse the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we need to do is we as the body of believers, we need to represent Christ well in the time period in this dispensation that He's placed us in. Are you with me? A few weeks ago, I preached a message about the coming of the Lord in a little church there in Clonch, New Mexico. And later that week, somebody had made a comment to me about I scared their daughter-in-law. And I was like, well, how did I do that? You know, a conversation. Said, well, you know, we've heard for years and years and years that the Lord's coming back. We've heard that when we were kids. And I said, yeah, you're right. I said, you're right. And it hadn't happened yet. And I said, yeah, you're right. You're right. But I said, He's still coming back. And we're closer now than ever. I said, I'm not here to bring fear upon you. I'm not here to scare you into the kingdom of God. That's not my job. It's not my purpose. I'm here to lead you. I'm here to share with you. And we're here to lead other people to the cross through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our purpose. And we can never forget that's why we are here. You see, in Timothy's day, fear had set in. People were flaking off. Did you know the Bible says in the last days that lawlessness will abound? We're seeing that unfold right before our very eyes. Lawlessness through the protests and all the stuff that's going on. Some of it is politically motivated. Some of it is motivated by other things. But I'm going to tell you what it's all motivated by. It's all motivated by the enemy. And so in this time period that we live in, and in this dispensation that we live in, the thing that you and I have to keep in our foremost thought of every day we live is we need to continue to love. We need to continue to present hope. We need to continue to present that God is here to forgive and to heal everything He came to do. Are you with me? If you remember the scripture, when Jesus sat down in the New Testament, He went to the synagogue and they handed over the book of Isaiah to Him, and He began to read out of the book of Isaiah. Do you remember what He read out of what He said in the book of Isaiah? Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To bring deliverance, to bring liberty to those that are captive and those that are bound. And I'm not quoting it perfect, but that's what you and I are here for. That's what the church is. We're here to bring hope and proclaim liberty and see people set free. When we lose that vision, we have died. It's not about how big I can get my congregation, although I want it to grow. I want new lambs. I want new sheep. I want to see people birthed into the kingdom of God. But when we lose our purpose, when we lose the realization that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we've got to continue to spread the gospel, we've got to continue to pray and to bring healing to a very divided nation and a very divided world. I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. You remember when Jesus began to preach the Sermon on the Mount? It made me think about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, the attitudes that I should have. Listen to what he says. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." If there's ever a day and time we need to live these attributes, it's today. Our nation and our churches are so divided. And we need to pray for America. We need to pray for the church across the globe. He is coming back again. He said, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And he says, "Behold, I come quickly." And I'm not here to scare anybody. I don't know what day the Lord is coming back. But Brother John, the scripture says that I'll know the season. I'll be able to look and I'll be able to recognize the season. And it talks about lawlessness was about. It talked about the love of many will wax cold. You know what as a pastor lately is because people aren't coming to church like they once used to. It's not a priority. People are not coming to Bible studies. People are not coming to Sunday school. It's like we've lost our first love, our hunger for the Word of God, our hunger to grow, our hunger to go deeper and to be discipled. But the scripture talks about that. The scripture prophetically prophesies that there will be a famine in the land. But not a famine of food, but a famine of his word. But what I want to challenge you to do is not to be ashamed to be called Christian. Not to be ashamed to be called a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't cower down. Be brave and be bold and stand up in his name. You say, "But you don't understand, Pastor. People are dying." Yeah, people were dying in Timothy's day. Do you know what was going on in the time of Nero? They were burning people at the stake. They were tarring and feathering believers. They would make a slide out of a guillotine, and it wasn't like a slide that your children and our grandchildren play on where they slide down and have fun when they get to the bottom. This slide would have a guillotine blade at the bottom, and when they slide down, they'd literally be sliced in two. There were people that were being boiled to death in oil. You ever get a chance, order and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. We can't remember. We can't forget why we're here. Why are we here? What our purpose is. We're to be ambassadors for the kingdom. We have to preach and teach the gospel. We have to be messengers of hope and love and forgiveness. We have to remind people that God gave heaven's best. And it's for all people. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. Red, and I remember the little children's song, Jesus loves all the little children. You remember red and yellow, black and white. They are all precious in His sight. We've got to drop all the garbage. And we've got to love like Jesus loved. We've got to live like Jesus lived. When you continue to go in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins to say in verse 13, He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are literally, the church is the flavor. Are you following me? But if the salt has lost its savor, if it has lost its flavor, if it has lost its ability to make something taste better or to make it more enjoyable, it says, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. He goes on and says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. If there's ever a day we need to shine and proclaim liberty, it's today. We have to be salt, and we have to be light. And when we leave this place today, when we leave the building today, we have a mission. I want you to think about the current condition of our society right now. You go into Costco, you go into Walmart. There's an over amount of fear that's not only in our community, it's around the globe. And I want to give you a homework assignment. I want you to go home this afternoon before you go to bed sometime today. Reread these Beatitudes. I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to do a self-evaluation. And I want to make sure that I have the right attitudes and the right heart. First, as a child of God. Second, as a husband. Thirdly, as a father. Fourthly, as your pastor. And I want to run my race. And I want to do it the best that I can because I want to please my Heavenly Father. I don't know if this message is making any sense to you. But in the days that we have left, I want to run well. I want to make sure that I share hope with people. Now, the Scripture is very clear that we got to turn from sin. And the Scripture is very clear that there is an acceptable lifestyle. And we need to continue to preach that, and we need to continue to teach that. We need to continue to teach people that we got to live above sin, matter of fact, Apostle Paul and the Scripture talks about don't use your liberty to get all tangled up and get all contaminated again with the junk of this world. But when Christ sets us free, we need to live in that freedom. We need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And you're going to hear me over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to do my best as a pastor to teach and to preach from the pulpit how we can live and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but fulfill and continue to grow the kingdom of God until He comes back. We can't do it in the flesh. The Bible tells us we've got to crucify this flesh. It's not about works. It's not about what I do. I mean, we have to be doers of the word. But if I'm doing it for the wrong reason, then I'm wrong. I got to do it for the right reason. I do it because I love him. Because I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That means he's going to be a covenant God who will keep his covenant. But I got to keep mine. Every day I got to get up and I got to place him on the throne of my heart. And I got to walk it out every day. And I got to love him. And follow him. Last week I preached, the title of the message was Follow Me. I got to follow him. I got to listen for his voice. I got to read his word. I got to pray. I got to grow. You see, with all the stuff that's going on right now in our world, there's not going to be a normal anymore.